This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9.
We now have in the studio an acclaimed director and producer, Tony Ayres. Tony Ayres actually is with an organisation called Matchbox Pictures, but he's also one of my neighbours in Elwood, so I often see Tony cruising around the neighbourhood.
No, walking around.
Walking around. Okay, walking around. Good morning to you, Tony.
Hi, Jess.
Great to have you in the studio. Tell us a bit about this ad. Could you describe to us how it was actually made? Because I understand that there are a number of you that got together and donated your time and your services to the creation of this.
Yeah, I guess that, my company, Matchbox Pictures, there were a number of us in the company who wanted to do something to contribute to the marriage equality debate. Mm. And so we put together a story... that which we felt hadn't been told yet, which was about the people who ended up voting yes.
We're just helping Tony. We're just with the helping Tony give good mic.
I'm being fluffed in the background.
You should know about this stuff.
So, Tony, keep your lips as close as you can to the microphone without actually touching us.
So basically, we wanted to contribute, and there was a story which we didn't feel had been told yet, which was the story of for people, particularly from migrant backgrounds, who may have come to Australia from countries where homosexuality is more demonised than it is in Australia. There are different attitudes, and we wanted to tell a positive story, which was, well, even if you come from those backgrounds, you can still vote yes because, you know, your child might be gay.
Yes.
You know,
like,
so that's you know, in a nutshell, that's the story. And and a lot of the young filmmakers who are part of Matchbox banded together to make this ad. So Hannah Samuel and Danika Horvat, who are were the writers and directors of the ad, and Sarah Freeman produced it. So this is a very talented group of young filmmakers we have who also work at Matchbox.
It's a very smart, very slick ad. I found it very moving, to be quite honest. Could you describe it for our listeners, for those who haven't yet seen it?
Quite simply, it's a guy writing a letter to his mother describing how difficult the time had been recently, and also saying to her that he understood that this wasn't what she had always believed. And she calls him up, and he comes around, and basically he just thanks her for voting yes in spite of her background and her beliefs, and she votes yes because she loves him, you know.
And you can see two cups of tea being made. That's a lovely touch.
Yeah, the idea was, you know those old Telstra ads where people rang home and everyone started crying? That was what we were trying to do. Yeah. We were trying to make people cry.
It actually took me to some of the work, like some of the work cover ads and maybe the nurses' ads, the nurse recruitment ads. So really play on those heartstrings. Great music, great classical pieces that pull it together. Good, simple acting, very, very simple storytelling.
Yeah, I mean, we felt that emotionally, if we could move people, that might actually affect them in a way which, you know, there have been so many debates going on and so much misinformation.
Yeah, so getting to the heart, really, the human dimension of it all.
Yeah.
I do a lot of aeroplane travel, and I've been watching, in between short hops, Ali's Wedding, which I hadn't seen before. But, you know, like, it really does graphically kind of deal with how tough it is for young people in communities with very strong sort of value bases to then make their way in a society that's, you know, got different norms, and it's powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, I love Ali's Wedding. It's a true story of Sami's first marriage. Mm. So, But it is set in, again, it's set in a migrant background where someone has to negotiate the difficulty of the kinds of values that he grew up with.
Yes, and the huge expectations of his family all the time that he was bumping up against, and just knew that he couldn't, and tried every way to meet, you know, lying and sneaking around and all of that sort of stuff. I haven't got to the end, so it was just the last. So I was coming back from Hobart yesterday, was it? Anyway, you know, it's...
Well, I mean, I think...
So don't tell me.
I think Judy alluded to it earlier that actually... I mean, the thing is, people from migrant backgrounds have quite complicated relationships, especially queer people, relationships with their families, because often, you know, parents came here from very difficult situations. They made huge sacrifices to be in Australia. And so there is a debt that we owe to our parents, you know, a debt of gratitude that we owe for simply sort of making the sacrifices to be here. And it's very hard to sort of walk away from that. And I think that, you know, Ali's Wedding talks about that in another way. This ad talks about that.
I think one of the challenges, Tony, is that in so many ethnic communities, marriage is such an important event, such an important institution. And getting the message across that, hey, you know, this is another marriage. It's not a different marriage, it's another marriage. And that it's all right. It's one of the big challenges, isn't it? Because you've got to change the thoughts of lifetimes and of generations. And, you know, I understand the difficulty in ethnic communities, in all communities, but in coming out. But then selling this idea is, hey, this is another marriage. This is another wedding.
I mean, I think you talked about it earlier with Judy. I think acculturation takes time. I mean, we're kind of used to now in sort of 2017 Australia that actually marriage equality is an acceptable thing. Mm. But, I mean, you cast your mind back to 30 years ago. I mean, you know, it was a different world then. In the last decade, we've been saturated in the media with relatively positive images of people from diverse backgrounds, including diverse sexualities. And so that actually shapes a society. That's kind of why we can talk the way we talk. Mm. But so you know, for people who are new to that society, it does take time for attitudes to change.
If you reflect on what happened back in 2004 when John Howard changed the Marriage Act, our community...
Sorry, with Nicola Roxon's help. Don't forget Nicola Roxon.
Macker, I was going to say our political leaders as a bloc...
Yes.
As a bloc...
Abandoned us.
...said we do not support marriage equality. Now, 13 years later, we've got a handful of political leaders, it's probably a large handful, of political leaders who are opposed to marriage equality, and we see them as being sort of a little bit stuck in the...
anachronistic.
Something or other, isn't it?
Dinosaurs, it's Luddites.
All that language.
They still haven't accepted decimal currency, Tess.
Yeah, but, you know, my husband's working in Vietnam at the moment, and he tells me when he talks to young people there that... obviously there are gay people there, but there's kind of just no conception of gayness. It's like, is it so buried deeply, or it's like, well, what does that mean? I mean, so entrenched is the view of heterosexuality, but it's like out of someone's frame of reference to think about it, unless, of course, you're confronted in a personal way. I mean, they did have a gay Mardi Gras celebration at the Australian Embassy this year, but yeah.
God, don't tell Erica Betts.
No, that's exactly right. But, it's just so buried and so out of so many people's frame of... just they can't even conceptualise for some people. Is he reading it right? Or because he can't get anyone to talk about it.
I don't know, because I've never actually been to Vietnam.
Yeah.
but I know that there's a gay scene there.
Yeah.
You just have to jump on Grindr or Scruffy, you'll find it.
Of course there is.
I've always thought
that... But you're kind of overcoming that. I guess what you're doing is overcoming something that's just, as you said, not even in the public discourse. You know,
it's absolutely.
Genuinely underground.
I mean, I think it's different from country to country in Asia. Mm. Like, I know that, for instance, Taiwan has legalised gay marriage.
Yeah.
And yet, in I presume in countries like Cambodia or, you know, like more repressive countries, yes. there might be different attitudes.
Well, but certainly the Islamic countries, it's, you know, it's even not even
well.
Just
in, look at
it's
Indonesia.
Punished.
Look at Indonesia. Look,
yeah, Aceh, but how that's playing out. Well, one thing I always found interesting, Tony, and I've had partners of a non-Caucasian background. I'm searching for the right term. And I remember a discussion I had with a previous partner's father, who was Greek. And Tassel smile at this.
I know the story.
And
I know the whole story.
And sitting in our lounge room on the edge of the chair, and, you know, the father was very, very reluctant to meet me, as was the mother, and understand that their son was gay because, oh, you know, what will the community think? What will Uncle Theo think? And, you know, all this sort of stuff. And he's sitting on the edge of the chair, and I said to him, I won't say his name, I said, remember when you came to Australia in the 1950s as an assisted migrant? And he said yes. And I said, remember how it was that, you know, you couldn't get a job, you couldn't borrow from a bank easily, you didn't get access to good housing, you had to struggle with the language? And I said, all of that was because you were Greek, you were an immigrant, you weren't a WASP.
Yeah, you were different.
And he said, yes, and I said, but, you know, you can't change the fact that you were born Greek, can you? And he said, no. And I said, well, guess what? Your son can't change the fact he was born gay. How about you get with the program? And the look on his face wasn't a total conversion on the way to Damascus or to Athens, but he definitely, it resonated. And I know that that's often an argument that you can, you know, well, not an argument, a case to make the case. You cannot... choose your race, right? You cannot choose your sexuality. You can actually choose your beliefs, and you can choose your religion. And for different ethnic groups, I think it's really important to remember to use that parallel. Hey, you think you've been badly treated, and you have in a lot of cases. Why? Because people perceive your race as different, and you can't change that. How do you think it feels to be part of that ethnic group and to be LGBTI? It's a double whammy. And that's what you want to perpetuate? That's what you want to do to your children? You want to make them suffer again for something that they can't choose?
Thank you, Macca. We're going to take a very short break, but before we do that, Tony, could you just remind our listeners where they can find the ad?
You can find it on YouTube, the Yes Alliance. Just Google the Yes Alliance, thank you.
Or Facebook, the Yes Alliance.
Yes, absolutely.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
We have Tony Ayres in the studio, nationally acclaimed producer and director. I'm actually going to take that a step further and say internationally, because I think your work's fantastic.
Yeah,
Tony,
it is.
Congratulations.
It's awesome. It's
Thank
awesome.
You.
Recently you've won some awards, and I was watching all of that on television. I was just so proud to think, there's my neighbour, a fellow Australian, somebody who's in my sort of extended peer network. Congratulations. Mm.
Thank you.
Well done. So where I'd like to take the conversation is into what personally motivated you to be involved in this space and to actually make this ad. What happened?
I guess, you know, I've been watching the whole debate and around me, and I sort of feel like it's a very uncivilized action by the government, because I feel like most of the time I don't really need to know what my neighbours think, and we somehow live side by side and it's all fine. And I think that's the premise of civilization. So suddenly we are forced to not only know and hear what other people think, and, you know, and, you know, democracies are based on you electing people to represent those views, so that then you can actually live side by side with people.
Yep.
And so that struck me as, you know, that kind of infuriated me, really. And
so can you really be respectfully live next door to somebody who holds a very different value set to yourself?
We do all the time.
Mm. Yeah, we do, actually.
I mean, that is the pact that we live under.
Mm.
And I think that I just wanted to contribute something, you know, and friends of mine were being very active in the campaign and so, you know, in any small way that I could help, that, you know, that was you know, the motivation.
And tell us about your personal journey. So, you know, I've seen films that you've made that talk about, you know, your childhood and your coming to Australia and your family and stuff. So, as a gay man and coming out in a sort of Chinese Australian sort of context, what was that like?
I had an unusual coming out experience. I don't think I can go into too many details, but weirdly enough, I sort of had the Chinese part of my life early, and then I became an orphan, and so I didn't have to deal with coming out in a Chinese context, because by then I was kind of living with in a primarily Caucasian world, you know, and so I probably had one of the strangest and easiest experiences of coming out that I ever had, which was that at that stage I was living with my history teacher,
There's a story.
That's another story.
That's always true.
And I was, but he was married and he had two children, and I was an orphan, and I was just kind of, you know, he basically cared for me when I was 14 years old, and he you know, I think I was about 16, and I told him I was gay, and he just sort of said, "Fine. By the way, I'm not gay." You know, just to clear things up, you know, between him and me. And then he took me to a casino, and
a casino,
which was his kind of heterosexual way of saying it's okay.
Life's a gamble. What was that about?
It was so random, but that was my coming out experience.
And how did that feel?
Strange. I didn't win any money.
Well, that's not unusual at a casino.
No.
So as a gay man, as a young gay man, did you ever have to, did you ever feel any discrimination or any stigma?
I think I was pretty lucky, because I went to university in Canberra and moved in a very sort of, you know, middle class, sort of left wing environment. And I probably...
Rarified atmosphere, they call it.
It was very... Yeah, I lived in a bubble.
They say that about Canberra, don't they? Mm.
And I probably got more flack for being Chinese. Like, if I walked down the street, people, you know, driving cars would yell at me for being Asian before they'd yell at me for being gay.
Right.
You know, the way I walked. But,
so, you know. So you didn't get any sort of pufta abuse. You got sort of Asian abuse.
Yeah, chink.
Yeah.
So that was probably my experience of it. I didn't really feel... you know, I think I was pretty well protected.
So, you know, coming back to the present now, and we've, you know, on the crisp of actually achieving marriage equality for LGBT.
Well, is that how you're reading it? How are you feeling about it?
I'm eternally an optimist. Mm. You know, like having, 56-year-old gay man, and having seen the tide of history turn in my lifetime so much, I kind of feel like we've already won. Mm. Like, I actually feel like, you know, no matter yes or no with this particular vote, you know, this particular non-binding postal survey, no matter what the outcome is, I feel like to be in a world where the question of my sexuality is accepted by undoubtedly... The majority of people in this country, that feels like a victory to me.
Yeah. Touche, I agree with you totally. And I think for me personally, no matter what comes out of this postal survey, it will be a victory. It'll be a victory for us, but it will also be a victory for the Conservatives, because this is clearly something that's helped them galvanise themselves, strengthen their base, and get on with what they want to do. But in saying all of that, I think that this is one hurdle. The next hurdle is what happens in Parliament.
Yeah.
And at the moment, that's still a bit of a vacuum. You know, we've got a couple of bills floating about. There's Dean Smith's bill. In my view, it's not entirely an acceptable bill, but it's probably viewed by many people as being the best of a bad batch. So we'll probably want to pursue supporting that. But there are no guarantees. You know, nobody's declared their position yet. We don't know what our PM thinks. He hasn't.
Well, which day is it? And sorry, on that, Tass, you know, the reality is, yes, the Conservatives in Canberra and other parts are going to again mobilise around this. But this is a chance for the government, for all elements of the government, including those who opposed it and said, you know, that was the vote yes, they would support it. And, of course, some of them have then said, oh, well, of course, you know, I only support it if it's this and this and this. Guys, you love to deal with the facts, you say. Well, here's a fact for you. The question was very simple. 77 to 80% of Australians have voted, and if the majority of them vote yes, your duty is to pass legislation that grants...
Yeah, respecting it.
But it is not to engage in a hateful, long campaign of marginalising our community. And I just, you know, they need to, the politicians in Canberra, Tass, need to understand that if the yes vote is successful, and I think it will be, and Malcolm Turnbull needs to remember the commitment that he gave, and I know he doesn't like keeping them, but he needs to remember the commitment he made. And that was that this would be legislated by Christmas, right? Not that there would be an endless debate about religious protections.
Maka, we've had a number of guests in this very studio who said that they would follow whatever the outcome of the postal survey is. I wonder whether we should go back and survey them after we know the outcome.
Well, maybe we, on the 15th, when we do a special show, we can play all the sound grabs. And
I'm thinking of your old friend, Pauline Hanson.
Yes. Well, it's not my old friend. But remind them of the commitment that they made to this.
Respect.
Yeah. And I know, with respect to Bronny, so it's not against you, and some other politicians, but keeping your word as a politician, I know, is a challenge. You can't even work what your citizenship is, but keeping your word as a politician that you've made to all of us and to different communities in Australia, and, you know, communities that Tony's been a part of and the Yes Alliance has been part of, they have had commitments from politicians, and those communities and individuals, we all need to remind them what they said.
I think Tass is right, though, that I think that the Conservatives have used this as a galvanising.
Mm.
And I think they're going to play it for as long as they possibly can.
They've used it for the bigger picture,
absolutely.
The story.
Totally.
For that thing about, you know, we feel alienated, our views are not represented, you can't speak up about conservative
values. We don't like radical LGBTIQA sex.
But I want think, some look, of that. Why can't I get any of that?
But I think they've made it the bigger story.
Yeah.
And they're tapping into that. And there is a genuine... voice within the community that says that, you know, we feel disenfranchised and disempowered if we have views that slightly deviate from the left-wing kind of mantra. And I hear people say that and I understand it. So, you know, and tapping into that was very smart.
I think that social media has its pros and cons, but one of the things that it has done is really polarise society.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never convince anyone to change their views by posting something on Facebook.
Or no.
Yes.
You know, all you do is inform your own side. But I think that is also why people feel silenced, because they sort of feel swamped by a particular opinion.
Yes.
And they feel as though they can't argue.
And some of them feel bullied. They feel bullied.
They do. And they feel they can't argue against it without being, you know, pushed in a corner or told, you know, if I've got a different view, I must be sexist, I must be racist, I must be this. You know, and I think some groups have got a bit to answer for in making other people feel that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that bullying can come from any side.
Mm. Mm.
On Thursday night, I was at an LGBTI event and allies, And a number of us were sitting around at a table having a conversation, and the question was asked, would you get married should the law permitted that to occur? So I'd like to ask you, Tony, would you get married if the law enabled you to be able to get married? Is that something you would consider?
Well, my partner Michael and I are celebrating belatedly, because we're always so ridiculously busy, our 38th anniversary tonight.
38th anniversary. So, 38.
Yeah, I know. I really hate saying that number out loud.
Well,
no, it's actually
quite.
Grandparent territory.
Yeah.
38 years. Yeah, yeah. Congratulations.
So, you know,
But you don't fit the mold. You're not supposed to have these long-term relationships, mate. The Conservatives say you're not, this is not true, it can't be true.
Yeah, isn't that strange?
Yeah.
I don't know whether I would, you know, we grew up in an age where marriage was just not in a question.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, like, you know, I think that it is absolutely a human right, but, you know, you also have to make that choice. So I don't know. What about you?
yes, here we go.
Well, I can say this because Ian's on a plane on his way to Dublin, Ohio, not Dublin, yeah. Ireland, just to make that clear. No, I actually have no interest in marriage personally, but in saying that, that doesn't mean that I don't respect that as a right for other people. I also believe it is a choice that I should be able to make. At the moment, I can't make that choice. But I'd like to be able to. Look, I might feel differently, and I've heard a number of people say that. They might feel a bit differently should the real choice be made available to us. But at this point in my life, I don't see it as being important. What's important to me is the right.
Yeah, I think that pretty much expresses my view.
And I think the right...
We'd like the choice.
It's more than just the right to get married, because it's actually become symbolic of equality. And that's what really interests me. It's not marriage per se, it's the equality. I'm being told to wind up.
Yeah, you have to wind up.
Okay.
I've never heard you not bat the opportunity for a big party.
Yes. Well, actually, the other thing that I did say on Thursday night to all my friends is, I hope you're actually budgeting for wedding gifts.
Yeah.
Because we have only had to budget for wedding gifts for our straight friends.
That's right.
Now all of a sudden we're going to have to start budgeting for our gay and
lesbian
friends.
Get on board and set up a marriage business.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, celebrate business.
Tony, great to have you in the studio.
Yes, it's been a pleasure.
Really, thank you for your time. Thank you for the work that you've done, supporting the Yes Alliance and supporting our community and being an active member of our community as well.
And all your other wonderful work.
And for the great films.
We love
your films. Yeah. Keep them going. Have you got any tips? What's on next?
There's more of the same. There's a third series of Wanted.
Right, wow.
And there's a fourth series of the kids show I do, Nowhere Boys. Oh, shit, maybe I shouldn't have said that.
You heard it here first.
There's some other things. There's some new things I can't really say.
And another series of The Glitch?
I can't really say.
No. Okay. Tony, thank you very much for coming into the studio. Tony Ayres, executive producer of the Yes Alliance, new ad. You can actually find it
on YouTube.
Yes Alliance on YouTube and our Facebook page.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.